Amen. Be seated. So if you're not from around here, they're not really cheering for me, okay? I just want to make sure you understand they're not cheering for me. I made a deal. I said if you guys would step up and really I said if you do 300 boxes for Christmas, Operation Christmas Child, I'd wear a Panthers jersey. Well, you didn't quite get there, but you did such a doggone good job. I said, I'll do it anyway for you because you guys stepped up and we were able to give about 250 boxes to Operation Christmas Child. And so that's, you know, the real deal about that is that 250 kids are going to receive a gift. They're going to receive some things, some much needed supplies that they may never have experienced had we not participated in that. And they're also going to be able to hear about Jesus. They're going to be able to hear and learn about him and how they can have a relationship with him. And so I'm so excited about that. That was worth it for me to bear this thing and wear it. And so no pictures, please. I just ask that you don't do it. So those, you know, if you don't know, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. So I do like the Panthers. I just like to give y'all a hard time. I promise no Panther jokes today while I'm wearing the jersey. No, I don't really do that. I'm just to get that out of the way. But anyway, so my name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's so good to have you guys here with us. We've been, the last few weeks, just kind of going through some messages of some things that God's been dealing with, you know, Pastor Gabe and I with, and just some things that he's really brought to our attention. Last week, we talked about some things that's for the church, and today I really want to talk about something. It's really pretty personal. It's something that I've been dealing with, and I know so many of you have been as well, and so we're gonna kind of dig down into that. But let me just ask you a question. How many of you are ready for Thanksgiving? It's okay, you can raise your hand. Yeah, good, good, because I am too. I'm ready to get it. Can you believe that this week is Thanksgiving week? Man, this year has flown by faster than a Carolina Panther highlight reel. I'm just telling you. So, man, it's flown by. It's quick. It's gone. You know, just a few weeks and it'll be Christmas. And then, you know, but the amazing thing about that is what an incredible time of year that we get to celebrate so many cool things. I kind of wish they were really spread out a little bit more. And I know we've got Easter coming up, which is, you know, to me, that's the greatest holiday. But you know, these next couple of holidays are just so close together, but they're so impactful. And so I'm just so excited about Thanksgiving and being able to just kind of put that whole thing in perspective. And that's kind of where we're going to go today. Is just talking about how to have a peaceful Thanksgiving. Because I don't know about you, but, you know, you get the family together. It's not always so peaceful, right? It's kind of stressful and everything else. And then that just leads us right into Christmas, which is more time with family, which is more stressful and all that stuff. So I want to give us something today, how to have a peaceful Thanksgiving. And hopefully that will carry us on through to Christmas. So how many of you would consider yourself disciplined? Like four of you. Yeah, and I'm not raising my hand because I consider myself. I am not disciplined at all. I'm terrible. You know, it's one of those things I've struggled with. My wife would really be honest with you and tell you it's even worse than that I think I am. So she's disciplined. I'm not. But, you know, discipline is one of those things that we all have to have. And, you know, kind of keeping with the whole sports theme, the jersey thing, think about athletes. They've got to be disciplined. They've got to be disciplined in all areas of their sport. They've got to have all the skills in place. They've got to be willing to be mentally disciplined. They've got to be physically disciplined, all of those things, to be successful. And the real key about being disciplined for an athlete is not what they do in the season, per se. I mean, they've got to be disciplined on the field and all of that stuff. But it's also very important they are disciplined in the off season. When nobody's watching, when the coach isn't making sure that they're working out, that the coach isn't making sure that they're studying the playbooks and all of those things, that they be disciplined then, because the discipline that they have in the offseason carries over into what they do and how successful they are in the season. And for us as people, we have to be disciplined as well in the busy times and the slack times. As believers in Jesus, as followers of Christ, we've got to be disciplined when things are good, and we got to be disciplined when things are bad. We can't just assume that things are, you know, we're going to just be able to coast through. We've got to be able to be disciplined at all times. It's key. Because discipline determines how well we respond in situations. Discipline will tell the tale of whether we're able to handle things or not. Now, whether that's a good time or a bad time, it's important that we know that. And so what we know is that when we train and we discipline ourselves spiritually, that there are responses that will come out of us when things get tough that will fit the situation. That there will be responses that come out that are timely and that are appropriate for what we're facing. You know, when things are good, then we're going to respond the way we should in that manner. When they're bad, we're still going to be able to respond the way that we should. So bitterness and anger and all of those things that would be our natural responses are going to be trained to be different. So that when we face a tough time, instead of being bitter, angry, and unforgiving, we're going to be forgiving, and we're going to have to be able to have joy, and we're going to be able to not let ourselves go into places that we shouldn't. We're going to be able to handle what's in front of us the godly way and not just the worldly way. And so we need to be able to discipline that. Then our response isn't going to just be a preferred response, but it's got to be immediate. We can't get in the middle of tough times and try to figure out what we do next, because what will happen is we'll be eaten alive. Those things will just get the best of us, and we've got to be willing to be prepared to do that. How do we get prepared to know how to respond in the middle of the game of life? Well, we need to read the game book, the game plan, and that's the Bible. This is where God, the coach, gives us all of the things that he wants for us to do in life. And we got to be prepared by understanding it, opening it up, and digging down into it. Now, today I want us to talk about how to have a peaceful confidence in the middle of everything that goes on in life. To have a peaceful confidence no matter what life throws at us, no matter what happens, that we can have peace and be confident that God is in control. That's going to be the focus of today. Now, is life always a catastrophe? No. Is it always a celebration, though? No. There's times that things are up. There's times that things are down. We go into all kinds of things. But what we do know is that between times of catastrophe and times of celebration, there's some periods of time in there that we don't know how long they're going to last. But we do know that we're going to be hitting one of those two times at some place in life. Because we've got a period in between, but we're going to face some tough stuff and we're going to face some good stuff. And it's what we do in between there that's really going to tell the tale of how we overcome and how we are successful in life. Now, here's what I know to be true. That when we are in the middle of the catastrophe or we're in the middle of the celebration, whichever one we find ourselves in, it's really hard to get a good perspective and make good decisions in the middle of either one of them. When things are terrible and they're all falling apart, man, it's hard to see anything good in it. It's hard to be able to make a good decision to get yourself and to begin to see how God wants to dig you out of it. Even when you're in a celebration, though, it's kind of the same because you're so excited, it's hard to be able to prepare yourself to plan for when things are so good. And so we've got to be able to find a way to be prepared in both of those situations, because we can't wait till they're here to try to figure it out. Now, what it comes down to is this, that we've got to be willing to trust the plan that's been put together for us. How do we do that? Well, first we need to know the one who wrote the plan. We need to have a relationship with him. We need to know God. We need to know the one who created us and wants to have us be all that he created us to be. And then we've got to have a relationship with him and be able to trust him and the plan that he has for us. Now, maybe you're here today and maybe you haven't been around church very long. Maybe you're pretty new to the whole church thing. Maybe you're kind of kicking around the whole God thing. You're just not sure whether he exists. Maybe you're not sure whether this relationship thing that you hear about him is even true. Well, let me make sure that first you know that I'm super excited that you're here. I'm glad that you've come and you're just hanging out with us to see what he may have for you here today. But then also you need to know this, that as a believer in Christ, as followers of Christ, we believe that there is an assurance and a confidence that comes from having a relationship with him. That when you know him, that no matter what life throws at you, that you can have an assurance and a peace to know that he's right there in charge and in control. And you need to understand that today. Because what you are in the sports theme, you're kind of like a free agent. You're not on the team. You hadn't joined the team yet. You hadn't signed up yet. So you're just kind of hanging out to find out what this is really all about. And so we're thankful that we got free agents. We're thankful that there are some of maybe you here today and you're just checking this whole thing out. Now think about it when it goes from free agency. If you think about the idea of rookies on a football team. Rookies come to a team and they don't really know much about what's going on, do they? They don't have a relationship with the coach. They try to figure out what's going on, but what they're doing is they're just going on who he is, what they've heard about him, and maybe what they've seen of the past from him. They're just trying to figure out maybe who he is. They've got a very business-like relationship with him. It's all about how do I do what I'm supposed to do and how do I do it better. Some of us today are new believers in Christ, and so you're kind of the same way in your relationship with God. It's very business-like. You've got this relationship going with him that's very much all about the simplicity of a relationship. It's just like, God, what am I supposed to do? What do you want from me? And you're struggling to have very much conversation with him. The only communication you have is just pretty much telling him what you want, pretty much telling him what you think. And so the relationship hasn't really developed yet. So some of us today are rookies in the room. Some of us here are veterans. If you think about a veteran on a team, they've been there for a while. They know the coach. They know the schemes that he has in place. They know the things that he wants to see happen. And they're able to trust him because they've got a record of success with him. That they're able to know that he's proven himself over and over and over again because of being able to execute the plan, teach it to the players, and have them fill it out and do everything that they're supposed to do. And some of us in the room are veterans when it comes to this whole Christ follower thing. You made a decision a long time ago to be part of the team, and you made a decision to trust Christ and to kind of sign on to be a believer and a follower, to live your life out the way that he teaches us to in the scriptures. And you've been able to trust him because you've not only just heard about him, you've not only just been told about him, but now you've lived it out and you see it happening in your own life. You've seen him come and do things in your life that you know that you can trust him with. So you have this relationship, and your communication with him is more like it's a give and take. It's a speaking to him and listening back. And so some of us are veterans. Some of us are free agents. Some of us are rookies. Some of us are veterans in the room. But the reality is, when it comes down to it, that no matter what place we are on a team, we've got to be in sync with the coach and with the plan if we're going to be successful. But we've got to be in sync with him to know that that what we're doing is what we're supposed to do, that we know where to be, how to be there, and be ready to do the things that he asks us to do. And how do we do that as followers of Christ? How do we become more instinctive in our relationship with him? Well, today we're going to talk about that peaceful confidence that's going to develop and by digging down into that relationship and being able to have it. So today we're going to look at a piece of scripture found in the book of Philippians. If you have your Bibles or your phone app, you can go ahead and get there, Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to look at where God makes this incredible promise to us. A promise that we can have this true peace and confidence in him. At whether we're a free agent, whether we're a rookie, or whether we're a veteran, that there's a promise here for us to be able to look at it and understand it and then live out the peaceful confidence that he wants for every single one of us in the room. Now, we're going to unpack this, and we're going to view this in the whole idea of a relationship with God, because there is no other way to look at it. We've got to look at this peace and confidence only through our relationship with him. There's no other way that it comes. But you need to know that just because you make a decision to accept Christ and to begin a relationship with him, that's not a guarantee of peace. You need to know that. That's not like some, as seen on TV ad, Act now and secure your eternity in heaven and get a little bit of no anxiety at no extra cost. You know, there's no commercial to it. The truth is that that's not how it works. You know, the little lady from Geico, that's not how any of this works. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's not that we just get into heaven and all of a sudden our life becomes this peaceful bliss of everything else. That's not it. That's not what it's like on earth. Now, in heaven, it is going to be peaceful, and it is going to be bliss. But you need to know the moment you begin a relationship with Christ on earth, your heaven begins. You begin then. Your eternity is set. And for all of eternity, you're going to be in a relationship with him. And so we are able to begin that here. Now, Paul is going to talk to us in this book of Philippians. Philippians was a letter written to the Christians in Philippi. Philippi was an area there, and he writes to them on how they can become better Christians, how they can be better followers of Christ. And Paul is writing this letter while he's chained in prison. All right, so kind of interesting. We're going to talk about how to have peace and confidence in God from a guy who's writing to us from prison. It's a pretty interesting deal here. Let's see what Paul says to the Philippians. Philippians 4, verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now you got to read that right, because you understand that he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." There's an exclamation point there, right? How many of you are parents? Did your kids ever do anything the first time you tell them? No, I don't even stop. I just go ahead and do the second one automatically now. You know, I say it once and go ahead and just roll right into the second one, just a little bit more emphasis, because I know they're probably not going to listen to the first one. And I think that's what God's doing to us here. Paul's being used to speak to us. He's saying, you need to have joy. I said you need to have joy, because there's something here for you. There's something that you need to know. When God says something to us twice, we better pay very close attention. And you and I need to understand that we need to be able to have joy. You've heard me say it before, the whole happiness thing, man, that's the world. Just being happy, listen, it's going to come and it's going to go. I mean, you can be happy, that's good. But you need to know it's not going to last. Joy is the thing that we need to be able to have, and that only comes out of a relationship with God and being able to understand who he is. Paul says, rejoice. He's commanding us and commanding the Philippians to have an emotion. Anybody here able to have emotions on demand? No. Now, my five-year-old, she can get sad pretty fast, you know, the whole lip thing. But the reality is we can't command people to be sad. We can't command people to be happy. And Paul here is not really commanding us just to be happy. He sets it up and tells us how to be happy, how to be able to do this. He sets it up by giving one little piece of the phrase there, in the Lord. You need to be able to have joy because of your relationship with the Lord. If you want to have joy, that's the way that you get it. He clarifies it there and brings on how to have this confidence and this peaceful confidence in your life is the only way to do it is through God, through that relationship. See, we try to make ourselves happy with our world, right? We make decisions that we think will make us happy. You know, some of you went to see, you know, the whole new Hunger Games movie and you thought it would just make you happy. But you know what, you probably got too much butter on your popcorn or something, and all of a sudden you weren't happy anymore, you know. And so we try to do things to make us happy, but then something else comes along and it just kind of clips us out, our feet out from under us, and everything else. We go back and forth. But the reality is that life is going to be so inconsistent with the happiness and the sadness and the back and forth and the good and the bad that we can't base our joy on the things around us. It's just not going to happen. The only thing we can base our joy on is God and our relationship with him. You see, he never changes. He never changes at all. He's always the same. His love never falters. It never fails. He never loves you
any less. You can always have confidence in him. Our ability to find joy can and will always be tied to the belief that God loved us so much that he was willing to give his son for us. See, it all hinges on the fact that God loved us unconditionally. That when we were separated from him by our sin, that he loved us anyway, and he sent Jesus to die on a cross to pay the price for our sins, so that when we believe and trust in him and confess our sins, we can be brought into a relationship with him and be made right with him. A relationship that lasts for all of eternity. And that's why we can be able to rejoice is in the Lord and in our relationship with him. He goes on in verse 5 and he says this, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." And I'll just tell you, in the last couple of weeks, there's been times where my gentleness has not been evident at all. I mean, it's not been evident a little bit. There's been times where I've been doggone just downright nasty and ugly, if I'm just being honest with you. Half that time's been with my kids. I'm just being transparent with you. This has been one of those, you know, weeks and times where it just seems like, you know, things just aren't going good, and you just, you know how you just snap out and things aren't good. And we're just be able to have joy and our gentleness to be evident to all. The whole way that this translates out is this humble graciousness. Being able to realize that, you know what, it's not all about us. Being able to realize that we can be thankful no matter what. That we don't have to be justified and everything else and retaliate when things aren't exactly the way we want. It's being able to do what should separate us out from people who aren't followers of Christ. See, being gentle and being allowing that to our responses to be that way to people should be the one thing that sets us apart, but does it really? I mean, think about it. When the world looks at most Christians, what do they really see? They see more about what we're not for. They see more about how angry we are at so many other things. They see how we, you know, we struggle and we fall hard way more than they see how we live well and how we handle situations the right way. And so we need to be able to be gentle and that to be evident to all. Here's why. In verse 5, the second part, it says, "The Lord is near." Listen, we need to be able to be gentle and to be evident to all, to have joy in our lives because God is near us. And some of you today are feeling like God's nowhere around. There's some stuff in your life. There's some stuff going on. There's some things that you've done that God's nowhere near you. And let me just tell you that he, if you have a relationship with him, he's near. If you don't have a relationship with him, he's very near too. And you just got to call out to him and ask him to be there. He's there. He goes on, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I were, and I said, how many of us here today are anxious? You know what? I bet there'd be a lot of hands that would go up. There's always something to be worried about, isn't it? There's always something there nagging at us. And listen, Paul is writing this letter, man, he's an expert on being anxious, or at least having opportunities to be anxious. Dude's been beat up. He's been shipwrecked. He's been spit on and mistreated. He's been just all kinds of stuff. And he knows what it's like. He's been put in prison. And he says, listen, you need to rejoice. I'm telling you, rejoice. Be gentle to everybody. Because the Lord's near. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about these kind of things. See, I believe that these two verses together, the second part of 5 and the first part of 6, are like a cause and effect. You could easily write "because" before this phrase. Because the Lord is near, do not be anxious about anything. See, we understand that God, the creator of the universe, who loves us and cares about us and wants a relationship with us, is right there near us. We shouldn't have to be worried. We shouldn't have to be anxious about anything. Because he's near and there's nothing outside the scope of his control or ability to impact or change, the believer in Christ, the Christ follower, should not be worried about anything. Now, let's stop for a second, because that sounds really absolute, doesn't it? That sounds almost like, I can take that statement and I could guilt you pretty good with it, couldn't I? I can really make you feel bad about being anxious because, man, if you're a believer in Christ, you should just have that relationship and there should be no anxiety, should be no worry, there should be nothing there that's between you and you believing who God says he is. I get that. But the truth is that if I believe that God is near and that he has all power and that he can control everything and all of that, there's nothing that happens outside of his control, then I should be able to trust him with everything, shouldn't I? Why do we worry? We all do it, right? Let me just tell you, I'm like the world's worst. I am a worrier. In the last couple weeks, I have been so worried about so many things. And I'm just being transparent and honest with you. I mean, to the point of just messing with my own health. I've allowed things to just get in my head and in my relationship. I have been way off on my spiritual game. I'm just being honest with you. Because some of you are sitting here today thinking that you're the only one that's happened to. Some of you are thinking that because you've been worried about stuff that you can't really voice that opinion or that concern because you feel like that if you're a believer in Christ, you just, man, I shouldn't feel this way. Listen, there are times when we're all going to fall. We're all going to mess up and not have that ultimate belief in God, just that it's that the relationship is perfect and that you can just, you know, walk around with this, you know, super Christian shirt on all the time. None of us can do that because we have this little thing we call human about us. And the reality is as humans, we're not perfect and we're going to make mistakes. We're not always going to have this perfect situation where we're always going to be able to just completely have this wonderful trust and give in to and just let it all go. But here's what we have to be able to do, though. Is there's got to be part of us that says, you know what, I am going to fall. Yeah, I am going to make mistakes. Yeah, I am going to worry, and I am going to take control back from God and begin to do things. But then we got to be able to say, you know what, I've made a mistake, I've fallen, but I got to come back to the belief that God is who he says he is. We can't just stay there and say, you know what, it's just okay if I don't believe God. It's okay if I just don't trust him. No, I got to be able to say, you know what? God is who he says he is, regardless of who I say he is. Because regardless of what I think I can do, he still is in control, and he still is God. And you know, and that's the grace and mercy of God who loves us, who says, you know what? I know that you're going to make mistakes, but I love you anyway. I know you're not going to get it right all the time, but I love you anyway. Some of us in here today are struggling with that fact. You feel like you've made too many mistakes and God just isn't going to love you anyway. And you need to know that he's near. You don't have to be worried. And you don't have to be stressed out about life. And you need to make sure that you come to a place, though, that you can trust him and that you do put him in the proper place in your life. And that's Lord and Savior. Now, there are times when we lack discipline. There's times where we get off our game. Life throws us a big, big curve and this catastrophe comes and things just don't go like we want them to go. Do we trust him? Do we give up? What do we do? Listen, if we're come back to the place of disciplining ourselves, to know that, yeah, we are going to fall. Yeah, we aren't going to always be exactly where we need to be. But God is who he says he is. God is God, that he has a plan and that he wants that plan to take me places that I can't even imagine that I'm supposed to go. Then we can come to a place of trusting in him and believing in him. Today, some of us need to understand that there is a key to this discipline of having a peaceful confidence in the God who loves you and cares about you. And the key to that is thanksgiving. You see, the discipline of thanksgiving produces a peaceful confidence. The discipline of thanksgiving produces a peaceful confidence. Listen to verse 6. He says, don't worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead of being anxious, go to him. Take your petitions to him. Do it with thanksgiving. Listen, today we may not always get it right. We may fall, we may worry about things. We may make mistakes. But the reality is, he says, with prayer and petition, come to me with thanksgiving. See, I look around the room and I can see so many faces that I know. Just, I don't know everybody's story, but I know a lot of your stories, at least pieces of them. And as I look around the room, I see all kinds of things that God has done in people's lives. You all have something to be thankful for. We all have so many things that he's brought us through, that he's done in our lives, that he's protected us from. They may not be perfect now, but he certainly has cared for us and loved us, and no matter what, and he's been there. And we need to be able to come to him with prayers and petitions, but understanding who he is and what he's done for us. To come with thanksgiving and present your requests to God. I think most people struggle with this whole prayer thing, because that's what that is. To be able to just communicate with God. To have this relationship where we talk to him. And not just talk to him, but we listen back. See, that's the part we struggle with. I think all of us get the idea that, hey, I can talk to God, because we all want to talk to him, don't we? We all want to tell him all the things that are going on in our lives, right? We want to tell him what's going on as if he doesn't really know. We want to tell him what's going on, and we want to tell him how we want him to fix it. But the part that we struggle with the most is him talking back to us. We seem to think that God's way too busy to really care about us. That even though we can tell him all the things that we want to do, that he didn't really want to talk back to us. And the reality is that's the whole relationship. You can't have a relationship with one-way communication. And he wants to communicate with us. He does it so many different ways. Let me just tell you, some of you are struggling with the whole communication thing because you've never heard the voice of God, right? That's the thing. He's like, I've never heard God say nothing to me. Can I just tell you that I've never audibly heard the voice of God either? But I've heard him speak so many times. How did he speak to me? Well, one, he speaks through the Bible. This is his words to us. This is the game plan. And what happens is we often read the Bible as if it's words on a page. Listen, you need to read it as if it's the word straight from the mouth of God. He's given us the Bible so that we're able to communicate with him, so that he can tell us the things that he wants for our lives and how he wants us to live it out. How else does he speak to us? He speaks to us through each other. He speaks to us through our relationships with one another, being able to come and just being able to talk to each other. Sometimes it's just in the conversations that we have that he begins to teach us things. You know, sometimes that's advice that he gives us. Sometimes it's correction. You know, it's kind of interesting. This past weekend sometimes he does it, he cries too. That's, we communicate that way too. But the reality is, you know, sometimes through our friends, he just allows us to have these conversations. And I was having that with a friend just Saturday morning at the men's camp out. We were eating breakfast, and most of the guys had left, and it was me and one of the guys, and we were talking. And you know what he said to me? He said, Ron, you worry too much. And I was like, wait a minute, you're telling the pastor he worries too much. Hold up. You can't do that. You know, the reality is, though, you know what? He was exactly right. And I was so thankful that he was willing to be honest with me and have a concern to help me. You know, because I go on with stuff, you know, my worries aren't like I don't think God can do all of it, right? My worries are that I can't do it all. You know what I mean? Like I know whose church it is, but the reality is that Ron tries to do all of God's stuff for him. You know what I mean? I try to, you know, try to fix all the relationships. I try to fix all the hurts. I try to fix all those things. I try to make sure that the bank account is where it needs to be so the church has money to do what it can do. And I try to make sure that the chairs are all in a perfect straight line. I really do, no joke. And I try to make sure that, you know, that Gabe does his job because he needs somebody to stay on him all the time. I try to make sure that all these things, you know, just fall into place. And you know what the reality of that is? Is that it really doesn't matter if the chairs are in a straight line or not. Amen. It doesn't really. As long as y'all are here to fix them, I don't care, okay? I wrote those names down. Thank you both very much. It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter about all those things. It matters that at the end of the day, that I stay as close to God as I can possibly stay so that I can help communicate the message that he wants communicated and so I can get out of his way and he can do the things in the lives of the people that he wants to do, okay? And I get that. And the reality is that my worry and my anxiety doesn't come out of a failure to believe God is who he is, because I know he is. He's proven that over and over. I'm a veteran. I've seen him do it too many times in my life. But it comes out of just wanting to see it so bad. And some of us want to see things happen in our own lives so bad that we've taken the control away from God and we've put it on ourselves and we've said, you know what, I'm going to do this myself no matter what. And you know you can't do it. You can't do it on your own. It's going to have to come out of the relationship with him. Paul says, rejoice. How in the world can we have joy in our lives when we are carrying the burden of something that we are not supposed to carry the burden for? And so today you need to hear very clearly that some of you are trying to do things that just are beyond your power. And you got to be able to give it over to him and let him take it and do what he wants to do through you. Now listen, we got to do the natural. We got to do the steps that we are supposed to do, but we got to leave the supernatural up to him. We talked about it last week. And so if we're going to do this, if we're going to see him be all that he wants him to be, then we're going to have this communication where we come to him and say, you know what, God, I know that you're in charge. You've proven yourself. I'm so thankful for all that you've done for me. You've proven yourself over and over and over again, and I just need to trust you and do what you've asked me to do. We come to him with thanksgiving in our hearts, because here's the promise that he makes when we do that. Verse 7, and the peace of God, the peace of the creator of the universe, the peace of the one who made it all and controls it all, which transcends all understanding, which means that we're not going to get all of that. We're not going to understand all of it. The peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that goes beyond anything we can comprehend will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me just tell you today that God wants us to come and be able to be guarded by him, not by ourselves. We will be a weak imitation of who he will be in our lives if we try to do it ourselves. That term guard, that's a military term. It means that as soldiers who form a barrier around something to protect it. Now think about that. You know, when the president goes out somewhere and he's got all those guys around him, you know, think about that, you know, that picture, that's God protecting you and keeping you safe in Christ Jesus. Think about it as being this incredible offensive line, right? Not the Panthers' offensive line, because it's not incredible. But sorry, I told you, I'd get one more in there. But think about this incredible offensive line protecting the quarterback where nobody can get through to tackle the quarterback and he can do exactly what he is supposed to do. That's what God does for you and for me when we trust him and we come to him with thanksgiving and we allow ourselves to just believe he is who he says he is and who he's proven himself to be over and over and over again. Today you can have that peaceful confidence. It comes with being able to communicate with him and just trust him and acknowledge him for all that he is. Listen, today, some of you are struggling with the whole prayer thing. Let me just go back to the model prayer that Jesus gave us. When they said, how should we pray? How should we do this? Jesus gave his disciples a model prayer that we should all follow as we pray. If you're struggling with that, here it is. But let me give it to you in a little different light today. If we're supposed to come with thanksgiving, and we're supposed to come in a way that acknowledges God is who he is, let's look at the model prayer through the lens of thanksgiving. Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Listen, we have a Father in heaven who loves us. We can be thankful for him because he has the plan, that he's in charge, and that he's the one that we can acknowledge him with thanksgiving right off the bat. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can be so thankful that God, our Father, has a plan for us. That his plan in heaven can come to earth and that you and I can experience that in our lives. We can be thankful for his will and for his plan. Give us today our daily bread. Listen, we can be thankful for what we've got. Listen, I know what we all want. We want our daily steak too. But the reality is he's given us our daily bread. And we should be thankful that we have that and that we don't have to have a need. We can be thankful for our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We can be thankful that we can be forgiven of our sins and set free from the penalty of those and have a relationship with him. And not only can we experience forgiveness, but we can offer it to people that deserve it or don't deserve it. That we are able to forgive people for things because of this great forgiveness that you and I can experience in our lives. We can be so thankful for that. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Listen, we can be thankful that God will lead us in the path that he wants us to go in. That he'll lead us away from the difficult things when we feel like we're drawn to it, that we have to be there, and that's got to be part of our lives. He will lead us away from that and protect us and deliver us out of those things. Listen, when we pray the way Jesus tells us to pray, it's all about being thankful. It's all about acknowledging who he is and what he's done for us. And so my question for you today is this. Are you ready to have a peaceful thanksgiving? Are you ready to have this peaceful confidence in God who loves you enough to go to the most extreme lengths to have a relationship with you? Are you ready to have that kind of relationship and that kind of peace? Today, he promises that to us. And so this Thanksgiving, my prayer is that it will be peaceful for you. Not because your family all gets along, because listen, they're not probably going to do that. Not because the food's all perfect and it's cooked just right, because you're probably going to burn something. At least in my house. I'll burn it. I was talking about me, okay? Not because you have all the stuff that you want, because there's probably something that you don't have. That you'll have a peaceful Thanksgiving because you have a relationship with God that brings you to a place where You can come to him, acknowledge him for who he is, for all that he's done for you, and be able to put it in his hands and let him have it because he's worthy to do it. You're going to have a peaceful Thanksgiving? My prayer is that you will. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. God, I pray that you'll forgive me for the times that I don't trust you with everything. God, that I take things into my own hands and try to make them the way I want them to be, when God, the reality is, when they're the way you want them to be, they are perfect. And they are the way that is best for us. So God, my prayer today is that for each person in this room, whether they're the free agent who doesn't have a relationship with you, whether they're the rookie that's just barely getting to know you and beginning to try to figure out how the whole walk with you goes, and or the veteran who's been with you for a long time, that God, that we'll come to a place of acknowledging you for who you are, thankful that you've done what you've done, and being able to accept it and live it out in their lives. God, for those that don't have a relationship with you today, I pray that they'll acknowledge the fact that they don't. And that they've been separated from you by their sin. And that by your Son, Jesus' death on the cross, that the price has been paid. And through his resurrection, that the price is paid. And for all eternity, through their trust and belief in what he's done for them, that they can have a relationship with you. And God, I pray today would be the day they would accept it and believe it. God, for those that have pulled back the reins on their life with you, that they'll release it and give it back to you and let you do the things in their life that you want to do, that they would get away from the worry and the stress of trying to do it themselves and let you take control. God, whatever it is that needs to happen today, may you do it fully. And God, as we step out into deep waters, as we step out to live life and to experience the things that we'll go through, God, may we always keep our eyes focused on you and allow you to be the one who leads us through. In Jesus' name, amen.